Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. As you know, I just spoke on the Faith Rest Life, seven messages out at the North Stonington Bible Church. I basically took about 50 messages and slammed them into seven, and in doing so, the key verse of the whole conference, in a sense, was Romans 15 and verse 13. It's a verse that basically went unnoticed in my thinking for many, many years, and yet, in many ways, grabs together many truths from the Word of God that apply to your life as a believer in Christ. In Romans 15 and verse 13, it reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you." With what? With all joy and peace. Well, how? In believing. Why? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask you to begin with, what is your view of the Lord? Is he the God of hope, or is he a cosmic killjoy that wants to rain on your parade? Do you believe he wants to fill your life with his joy and with his peace? Or do you think he wants to fill it with anguish and affliction? When you consider the key word of the Christian life as far as you are concerned, is it the word do? Or is it the word feel? Or is it the word believe? Are you struggling with disappointment and discouragement? Or are you abounding in hope? And by the way, is the Holy Spirit significant in your daily walk? Or if the Holy Spirit were to leave this planet today, would your life go on as usual? I say that because we have here in Romans 15 and verse 13, one verse that is pregnant with meaning and promise. A verse you do well to memorize. A verse you do well to meditate on. And in this verse, there are several simple truths, yet they are profound. They are basic truths, yet desperately needed in our lives. They are fundamental truths to the Christian life, yet so often they are exactly where we break down in our daily walk and fellowship with the Lord. This is a verse that can have a profound effect upon your Christian life from this day forward. For if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if you have trusted in him and his finished work on the cross as he died for you, as he paid for your sins, and as he rose again from the grave to save you and forgive you and give you eternal life through faith alone in him, if that is true of you, then this verse is for you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing we want to call our attention to in this verse is the fact that he's called here the God of hope. This starts by putting our focus where it needs to be. As you walked into the auditorium tonight, depending on your life, your focus may be on yourself, and you're thinking all about you and your problems and your situation or your circumstances. Or perhaps your focus is on others in the sense that others, what they said to you, what they think of you, what they did to you. It could be that you walked in tonight just totally consumed with your circumstances in life. And what God wants to do here is to take, as it were, your chin, which could be lowered at this point as you're frustrated or you're struggling or you're burdened, and in a sense, lift it up and get you to focus where you need to be. On the God of hope. This is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. He's called the God of all grace in 1 Peter 5:10. And here he's called the God of hope. You see, the true source of your hope is not found in yourself. It is not found in your performance or your hustle. It's not found in a church. It's not found in our country. It's not found in our government. It is found in the Lord, the God of hope. And the word hope here in the Bible doesn't speak of something iffy. This is a hope that belongs to God. He possesses it. He has a corner on it. And it speaks of the confident assurance or promise of future guaranteed blessing. You say, well, nothing in this world is guaranteed. Well, that's true when it comes to material things. That's true when it comes to circumstances, but not when it comes to God and the things that eternally matter. You see, hope is one of the three great Christian virtues. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest in what sense? Is faith important? Absolutely. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is hope important? Yes, it's mentioned twice in this verse. It is very important. But love is the greatest in what sense? In the sense of duration, not in the sense of importance. You see, in heaven, you will not need faith because you will be able to, as it were, walk by sight. For absent from the body is present with the Lord. In heaven, you will not need hope, for your hope will finally be fulfilled. But in heaven there will be love, and there will be love throughout all eternity, a love for the Lord and a love for one another. And in that sense, the greatest of these is love. Someone has called hope grace optimism. You can have an optimistic view of your future because of the grace of God. Not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, but because of who God is and what Christ has done for you. Without hope, you have nothing to look forward to. Without hope, you will slink into depression and despondency. Without hope, the best life gets is right now. Hope is very important in all of our lives. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a born-again child of God, and your Father is called here the God of hope. It doesn't matter if you're going through a difficult dilemma, God is the God of hope. It doesn't matter if you're going through an unwanted divorce, God is the God of hope. It doesn't matter if you're going through an untimely death, God is the God of hope. Do you have hope in your heart today? And you see, this God of hope wants to do something for you. Though every believer has been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, positionally, on a practical level, this God of hope wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. The Greek word pleroo means to fill to the full, so as to dominate, permeate, or control. And what does he want to fill you with? He wants to fill you with all joy and peace. All joy, inner delight, and peace, inner rest and tranquility. Now, it doesn't guarantee that he will give you all material blessings, but he wants to bless you with these immaterial or spiritual blessings. And to what degree does he want to do this? He wants to fill you with all joy and peace. Not a little joy and peace. Not some joy and peace once in a while on rare occasions when you kind of hit the jackpot, right? No, he wants to fill you with all joy and peace. And at salvation, you were given some joy and peace to taste as you tasted and seen that the Lord was good, tasted and saw the Lord was good. You were given all spiritual blessings. And now God wants to fill your life from day to day with all joy and peace. Now keep in mind, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness tends to be based on our happenings. So when things are going good, yeah. Things aren't going good, whoa. And you know, as a believer, when you learn to faith rest, you can, as it were, steady out and be stable and be filled with all joy and all peace, whether your happenings are good or whether they're difficult. You see, when people don't have real joy, even believers, when they're looking for joy out of the dead-end streets of life and they pursue the things of the world instead of Jesus Christ, they then pursue a joy substitute, some form of pleasure or escapism. You know, we might look at a drug addict shooting up a drug, you know, shooting up and say, "What are you doing?" But how often do we as believers shoot up something because we're missing the joy of the Lord in our life? You know, some believers shoot up gambling, or video games, or eating, or music, or drinking, or sports. And we're trying to squeeze that joy out of those things. And not that all those things are unenjoyable, but frankly, they don't really meet the needs of our life. In fact, apart from a right vertical relationship with God, man is miserable and life is meaningless. God doesn't promise here to fill you with all health and wealth, as the false prosperity gospel claims, but he wants to fill you with all joy and all peace in the trials you're going through, in the difficulties you're facing, in the day-to-day, sometimes mundane activities of life. And if you are not looking to the Lord for this, you're going to be looking to others for this. And notice this verse doesn't make sense when you say, "May my spouse fill me with all joy and peace." No. They're not a substitute for the Lord, though they may be a source of encouragement in your life, maybe a source of conflict. It doesn't say, "And may my children fill me with all joy and peace." No. Though I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth, it's God who wants to fill you. The same is true of your jobs. The same is true with other things in life. It is the God of hope who wants to fill you with all joy and peace. You say, "Me? Are you sure this is for me?" Well, let's look again. May the God of hope fill you. And interesting, the word "you" is in the plural here in the Greek. It's not referring to just one individual or a rare group of believers. This is in reference to every believer. This is available to all believers. This is for you. God wants to fill you personally, not someone else, you. Not a certain personality, you. Not a select group of super saints, you. You who are married, you who are single, you who are younger, you who are older. Not only you in the first century, but you in the 21st century. And you see, one of Satan's lies, dear friends, is that God is a cosmic killjoy and a celestial crank who doesn't really want your best. And that just is not true. That's a lie of Satan. And when you have that lie in your thinking, when you're really thinking, "If I want to do God's will, I'm going to lose," you need to pull down that stronghold in your thinking by occupying your mind with the Word of God, that you might bring into obedience every thought, to bring into obedience and captivity every thought as it relates to the Word of God. God wants to fill you with all joy and peace, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your age, regardless of your personality. But how does he do that? What is our part in the verse? Our part is simply in believing. In believing. The idea here, I like to say, is in faith resting. in faith resting. It's the Greek word pistuo, our normal word for faith. It speaks of personally trusting or personally relying, or personally believing, personally faith resting. Now, it's in the present tense, which speaks of ongoing, repetitive decisions to rely upon the Lord. A habitual trust, step by step by step. It's in the active voice here, which means this is something you have to choose. No one else can choose it for you. And the objective of this is that the God of hope wants to fill you with all joy and peace as you keep on trusting in Him. As He must be your object of faith. Relying on the Lord, mixing the promises of God. Regardless of your past, as you are now a new creation in Christ, forgiven of all your sins. Regardless of your trials, as His grace is sufficient for you. And even when it comes to guilt, there's a difference between true guilt and false guilt. A lady approached me last Monday after a message in North Stonington to talk to me about a trial she was going through. And she said, you know, I feel this way and I want to do this, but I feel guilty sometimes. And I said to her, that is false guilt. True guilt is when you violate what is right. What you desire is not wrong. That's false guilt. You need to reject that and recognize it for what it is and just commit it to the Lord to let Him work out His will in your life. You see, all joy and peace doesn't come through manipulating your circumstances. It doesn't come through some form of escapism. God wants to fill you with all joy and peace as you learn moment by moment, as it were, to faith rest and rely upon Him and enjoy a personal fellowship with Him. And it isn't ironic that we can trust the Lord for our eternal destiny. We can trust in Jesus Christ to give us eternal life and guarantee heaven. But when it comes to the difficulties and decisions of life, we feel like He somehow can't do it. Like He's forgotten about us or something. God wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing, not through busyness. Through believing, in believing. And there's nothing wrong with being busy if your eyes are on the Lord. But sometimes we get so busy that we don't take time with the Lord. We don't abide in Christ. His word doesn't abide in us. And we just become Martha's banging our pots in the kitchen, as it were. And then we wonder why we're so empty on the inside. Because we've had activity, but we've lost attitude. And abiding. And what is the result of faith resting in the Lord and His promises of grace? He wants to fill you with all joy and peace through believing that you may abound in hope. That you may abound in hope. Present tense, over and over again, abounding in exceeding measure, above the ordinary, more than necessary, hope. Grace optimism subjectively based on believing God's promises objectively. And isn't it wonderful to think one day we're going home as believers? One day we could meet the Lord in the air and it could be today. One day I'm going to receive a new glorified body. And we have hope about those things. But also we can have hope in our spiritual growth that God can change me. No one else can, but God can. We can have hope in our ministry that while we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, our sufficiency is of God and He can make us an able minister. We can have hope in our lives. I would have perished unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We can have hope in our trials. Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God wants our lives to abound in hope. But we need to recognize that this will not be accomplished by our self-efforts. This will not be accomplished by trying really hard to get joy and peace. And if I only can just try harder, no. Joy and peace have a way of finding you as you faith rest and walk in fellowship with the Lord. And who provides that joy and peace and abounding in hope? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw here two Sundays ago, Paul in Romans 7, saying the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. This is Paul living by law instead of by grace, trying to live through self-effort, trying to produce and perform in the Christian life. And when believers try to go on this mass search, I'm looking for joy and I'm looking for peace, they're looking in the wrong direction. Get your eyes on the God of all hope. And as you get your eyes on the God of all hope and you learn to faith rest in Him and His promises, He is a way of filling you with all joy and peace in faith resting that you may abound in hope. And by the way, we do not live on God's explanations. We live on His promises. He doesn't always explain things to us. You say, God, why did you do that? He usually doesn't answer. We know all things work together for good, but we don't always know the good for which it works except to make us more like His Son. In the case of Job, did God tell him what was going on? No. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises that fill us with hope because God never asked us to be all-knowing. He asked us to what? To trust in Him and His Word. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, He fills you with joy. He fills you with peace. And you find yourself abounding in hope. But this will not be true when you're bucking the Lord, when you're fighting the Lord, when you're doing it your way. When you're saying, me do it, me self, my way. I can tell you, you will not be filled with joy and peace. You will be one miserable carnal believer. And you will be looking again for happiness on all the dead-end streets of life. That joy and that peace and that hope comes by resting in the Lord, believing He has a plan for your life, believing His plan is best, believing His grace is sufficient, and taking the promises of God and mixing them with faith in light of your position in Christ, so the power of the Holy Spirit then fills you with joy and peace and hope. And people might even say, how can you have joy and peace and hope at a time like this? It is because your joy and hope and peace is not connected to your circumstances. They're the byproducts of enjoying a personal, intimate fellowship with the Lord, faith resting in Him as your all in all. Are you enjoying joy in your life, peace in your life, hope in your life? If not, you need to just confess it to the Lord. Lord, my focus has been wrong. Or my dependence has been wrong. Or I have been just bucking you. I've been doing my own thing. Going my own way. Trying to live my own life on my own terms. I'm fitting you in when it's convenient. And as a result, you're not being filled with all joy and peace. You're not abounding in hope. But this is what God wants to do in our lives. Does that sound like a cosmic killjoy? Or does that sound like a loving, gracious, caring Father who has your best in mind? You say, well, if He had my best in mind, why doesn't He remove this trial? Why does He allow me to go through this suffering? Because we live on a planet that's under the fall. We live in a life in which this world is cursed by sin, and there are difficulties and there are trials. And yet, even in those, God wants to use them to refine us and to mature us, to draw us close to Him, and even to long for heaven and to be with our Lord and to be with even saved loved ones that have gone on ahead. And to not be captured by the passing pleasures of sin down here that just again lead you down an alley that promises gold at the end of the rainbow. The problem is there's no gold there. There's only sorrow and shame and emptiness. And so I end by praying, as it were, on your behalf. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word here and for your grace. Thank you as Romans unveils not only your plan for justification, but of sanctification and glorification. We know that, again, it's all by your grace. And to think that now you not only are willing to save sinners deserving of hell by your grace the moment they trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then, as saved sinners, you want to fill them with all joy and peace through faith resting in you every day, that they would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing to us, Father. This is so encouraging to us that you are offering to us every day the faith rest life. A life in which we admit, I cannot live this Christian life. A life in which we don't seek your help as if we can do some of it and you can do some of it. But a life in which we admit we can't do it. You must do it for us or in us and through us. And as we yield to you and rely upon you, you pull it off and we know it's because the battle is yours, not ours. You did it. And thus you get the glory. And in doing so, you bring us along. And by your grace, you even use us to minister to others. For we know that joy really is Jesus, others, and then ourselves last. So thank you again for the encouragement of your word tonight. We've needed to hear this. May we take it to heart and trust you in it and for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to wait on the Lord's Supper till this Sunday, and we do have some ice cream available here at the end of the service for you. You may take your hymn books. We're going to have a song. What's the song, Simply Trusting Every Day? Do you know what's that called? Trusting Jesus? Yep. Oh, it's not in here. I'd like you to take your hymnals and turn to 327. Very fitting for our study tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's stand as we sing together. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The last stanza. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go, a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look